And also linked to the address is the big leadership on how we'll never be socialist. And our good friend, Dr. Merrill Matthews of the Institute for Public Policy Innovation, had a piece this week on what socialism's done to Venezuela. We'll talk to Dr. Matthews in just a moment. Again, to reach us, fire up the Green Mountain Grills Pellet Smoker listener line at 800-687-0790. Dr. Matthews, I appreciate you joining us today. You had a piece on Venezuelan socialism destroyed its energy industry and, of course, the country. It is now purposely exporting people. This is a plan from what I've heard from folks who write at some of the most prestigious foreign policy publications in the world, that Iran, the Cubans, the Russians, and others are all heavily involved in Venezuela right now, and they're using the exportation of immigrants, of refugees who are starving to death, as a means to destabilize other governments and ultimately be a real thorn in the side of the United States. Things are terrible there. Venezuela was a wealthy country. Over the years, I've known many Venezuelans who came to the United States for training, went to university here, and they're starving to death now. And yet, if you think about it, all leftist political, economic philosophy is one of the reasons it's so often flawed, besides looking at human nature, is that it's all going back, but even before Marx, I don't care who you're looking at, it's all based on the idea of resources being, you know, the human mind and innovation and creativity is not a resource in static economic thinking. It doesn't exist. Everything's about, well, do you have forests? Do you have oil? Do you have, copper? Do you have things to mine? Venezuela, one of the wealthiest nations in the world, not just in the Americas, and yet now they're among the poorest. Tell us about what the president said about no socialism and about what's happened in Venezuela. Dr. Matthews with IPI.
Well, you notice that when the president was talking about that, at least the one I was watching, they pointed out to Bernie Sanders sitting there, and the man was upset. He did not like the president talking about the problems of socialism. But, you know, there actually is a Texas connection here, because Venezuela has a heavier crude oil than most places. It's harder to extract and process, and that has typically come to Texas refineries to ship, to process, because we're so good at processing the heavier crude oil, which is why we process the Canadian crude oil as well, because our refineries do that. So
that's the Citgo facility in Corpus Christi. In fact, the Venezuelan government bought city companies years ago, and they do the refining of that in Texas in the Corpus Christi area.
Right, and you're absolutely right. Russia, China, and Iran have all been involved there. Putin was in Venezuela at the end of last year, extending them a financial lifeline. In return, he got he got a major share of both some of their crude oil fields and their natural gas fields, both onshore and offshore. Plus, he got, it's estimated, roughly maybe 45-49% stake in Citgo. So he's getting rewarded greatly for that. And in exchange, he also loaned Venezuela two supersonic bombers in December. Mike Pompeo protested, and so they took them back. But you had to wonder, why does Venezuela need supersonic bombers? People are trying to get out of the country, not get in.
Well, and if people don't know, I actually keep up with this and what's going on in the Koreas and other places a lot, and I don't talk about it on this program, but one of the things that you've got to understand that's going on in Venezuela, people are scratching their heads, particularly older folks who are more informed, who realize that most of the Venezuelan military was trained by the United States in the U.S. Those people have all been assassinated. The Castros, the Cubans, have death squads who work directly for the, not even for the Politburo there, but for Castro. The death squads have been there. They are assassins. And they have been picking off anybody who grumbled. They have purged the entire military, sort of like Stalin did. So all these officers, you keep reading about, well, the hundreds and thousands of officers, and, what are they going to do? Folks, they're all loyal to the new people. The other people have been killed, or imprisoned or simply escaped the country. It is a hellhole.
And to the point that you mentioned on the piece that I wrote, I found just about a week or so ago that the Energy Information Administration, which is a U.S. government body that sort of tracks energy issues and data and facts and so forth, actually had a chart, which I include in there, where they have a timeline of when Hugo Chavez comes in and various laws and so forth that were passed, the nationalization of the private companies and so forth, and they have that chart going along with Venezuela oil production, and you can see as the communists and socialists come in, take over, begin implementing their policies and so forth, the oil production declines until finally you get past Chavez, it just starts tanking. So you went from a place that had roughly they had nearly 3.5 million barrels a day they were producing. They're now well under 2 million barrels a day, and it's going down from there.
You can see that story at the Pratt Post for today at prattontexas.com or visit ipi.org. Dr. Matthews is a resident scholar at the Institute for Policy Innovation. We've seen this all over the globe, Dr. Matthews. I mean, this is every time it's tried, every time production goes down. And yet, people like Bernie Sanders, they love to talk about the Scandinavian countries, but if you actually know anything about Scandinavia, over the last 20 years, they have all rolled their welfare states back tremendously, and right. Some of them rank as freer economies and less regulated capitalist economies now than the United States of America. This is a fact. Those countries found, even though they're very, you know, very homogeneous, very small, and have, you know, very educated people with a tremendous cultural work ethic, that when you have these kind of policies, productivity of the individual, and then, of course, that translates into business, into corporate. When your individuals band together, that's corporate. They're doing something in corporate. Productivity falls. What in the world? The Russians are facing the same problem. They decided to nationalize and take over all this, and yeah, they're still a massive oil producer on the planet, but they're in the same problem. They have the same problem. They cannot achieve the technological innovation, and that's another story. I've got that huge New York Times story from this weekend about the monster Texas oil field and how it made the U.S. a star in the world market. And if you read the story, they openly admit it's the innovation of the small entrepreneur class. It's not the big companies that innovate. It's the small guys that are hanging out there on the edges that were down there in the so-called, you know, petered out Permian who innovate. These statist models don't work, but we have a new political class in America who seem to have all these great romantic ideas about the standard of living under socialism, and yet nowhere in the world is the standard of living under socialism as good as the standard of living of the working poor in the United States.
When you go to Russia, about 40% of the Russian government's revenues comes from their sale of oil and gas. I argued in a piece in The Hill a few weeks ago that what Putin's trying to do is create what I call a dark OPEC, in which he would like to, working with Venezuela, working with Iran, to some extent Iraq, perhaps China, to try to get enough. To have enough influence over enough oil and gas reserves that they can dramatically affect the price and the supply of those products.
But
and
don't
try
kid
to force
yourself. It's not just about price. And it does bankroll their evil doings, but it's about the ability to destabilize.
Right,
we want
right,
to be able
right.
to destabilize. It's the same thing the Soviet Union enjoyed doing constantly. It was a constant effort to simply destabilize the economies and the cultures and the political cultures of the West.
That's right. They use that. He uses that and the money that comes through to finance their mischief around the world, including as state representative. Lamar Smith had argued for a while that Russia was laundering money to U.S. environmental groups to fight fracking and other expansion.
Well, it's what I talked about at the stop. Only the ignorant people think this trying to influence elections is new. I mean, this is what's always gone on. Who the hell do you think organized these 100,000 people anti-U.S. intermediate nuclear deployments in Britain and West Germany. I mean, we're old enough because we were paying attention to remember. It's all done that way. There's nothing new about this. This is what they do. But what is new is that there's this new class of rather privileged, university educated, obviously not starving to death. I mean, I'm not talking about the old commie fossils like John Kerry and in that Bernie Sanders from Vermont. You know, those are the old fossils. But these young people that somehow have it in their head that the socialism is some kind of good thing that people live better under. The poor don't even live better under socialism.
That's right. And they think they're on to something new because there is this sort of dream that somewhere, somehow, someone is going to be able to figure out how to make socialism actually work. And they think they're the ones to make that happen.